So today we're going to talk about the difference between learning and development. It's a common question, and today we have a super interesting guest to shed some light on it. And here we are on the HR Hub podcast with me, Andrea Adam. Keep listening to learn about this and all kinds of things related to HR. You can also find me on YouTube. Today, my guest is James Aird. James is an interesting guy. He has a Master of Education from Harvard. He has an L&D consulting business based out of New Hampshire, serving a lot of the United States. He learned his trade by serving in, as he calls it, conflict areas, and they include the Iraq and the Congo. And when you think about it, doing HR work in those kinds of contexts brings a whole new light to the importance of our work. Hi, James. How are you?
Hi, Andrea. Thanks for inviting me on the podcast.
Well, thanks for coming on. So you were schooling me just before I hit record about conflict areas. Okay. Like, quickly, what is that exactly?
Yeah, I mean, it's a very misunderstood space, especially in the learning and development world. But conflict areas, much like post-conflict areas, are areas where there is violence. There's war, deep political instability. Big countries that come to mind include Syria, Iraq, the DR Congo. But those are areas where there's either violence or severe political instability. And, you know, as you can guess, that instability affects every industry, not just the military or the other, tied to the ground type industries or verticals. But yeah, that's what it means.
So this episode, we're talking about the difference between training, learning, and development. So can you elaborate on that? What are the differences between those topics?
For sure. I think it's so important. I think we need to highlight that more often in our work, especially within the L&D field. Now, people might disagree or might want to change the definition, but in my opinion and experience, I like to separate the two, in that learning training on one side is very accountable to the organization. Think of that like required compliance training or skills training, where an organization needs to upskill or bring in certain skills to reskill or fill gaps. On the other side, you have development. Development is accountable to the individual, and development presents an opportunity for the individual to kind of choose what they want to learn, whether it is related to their career progression. And examples for that might be any course or training program that is offered that is optional. When we look at development versus learning, development's becoming a huge becoming more in demand across the private sector as a way to increase employee recruiting and retention. The young people entering the workforce now have higher expectations for their own career development. And that learning and development, that development side, is becoming very important to HR departments and talent acquisition.
Okay, I have so many questions about that because there's a lot of nuance to this and then implications arising out of that nuance. But you didn't talk about training. Is there a difference between learning and training?
Yeah. So that's another great question. I like to keep them, I like to define them as the same thing within the corporate context.
Okay.
Other people might, find differences in them. But for me, training and learning, the actual content is tied strategically to business objectives, and it's pushed onto the employees.
Maybe drawing upon some of your very exciting past, can you give us some examples of learning versus development?
Yeah, for sure. So I was working at a biotech company, managing learning and development, and we were implementing a new solution. We were going to offer it to clients, but we were implementing a new solution, and we needed all of our employees, not all, but many of our employees, to learn how to use this, like what this solution is and how to use it. Learning and training, what we had to do was create custom pathways, which included coursework, seminars, etc. We had to train these employees on how to use this solution. It was required. We needed them to get up to speed in this solution. It was a solution that we created and that we offered. That was a training program that we set up. We had metrics, we had an evaluability assessment, and we knew what it meant for that training to be successful. They have to acquire skills and knowledge of how to use this solution.
Okay.
Now, on the development side, we also did this, and I can use this biotech company for this example as well. We had a learning management system and offered courses in a wide range of subjects, allowing employees on their free time to actually pull out coursework and decide and take agency over what they wanted to learn. A big example at that company, we had a lot of employees, and I could see from behind the scenes managing the learning management system, I could see a lot of employees on their own taking or enrolling in courses on writing, business writing, email writing. And that was in the development camp because we weren't assigning it. We weren't even sharing those courses, but those were employees that were empowered and they, you know, knew how to find course library and they actually did the work themselves to develop their own career.
Hey there, leaders who may be listening. Andrea here. Besides being a podcaster, I'm also an HR consultant. If you find HR issues are taking up too much of your time or you have a sticky problem, I could help. In my consulting, I work one-on-one with businesses to solve their HR challenges in a way that's straightforward and effective. And while we work on those challenges, we also are creating a strong HR foundation for your business that supports growth and success. So if that's you, reach out through my website for a consultation and let's create a plan that fits your company's needs. And now back to the show.
I think I know what the answer is going to be, but when should an organization be conducting training or learning versus enabling people to their development?
Yeah, so that's a loaded question because every company or every situation is very different. But if there are, and there always is, a compliance requirements, you know, anti-harassment, assault in the workplace. There are requirements for safety in some industries. All of that falls into training, not development, and all of that training is very important. So that I would highly prioritize that, especially for companies that are starting out building a learning and development structure. Those are examples of training. Once that training is being implemented and there's a process and maybe the beginning of a learning culture, that's when, if I have the resources, that's when I would bring in development and really pull out resources for continued learning and allow employees to kind of discover and for themselves build skills that they choose to build on.
What is the case for development? Like, clearly there's a clear business case. You have to do these training things, whatever they are. But what about development? It's now the employee has a whole lot more choice in that. What is the business case for the employer?
Well, there are actually meta reasons, but one is, may not sound great, but control. And not control, but control of the metrics and the actual data. With a learning system in place or an organization in place, employers can see their employees and what they're kind of doing and the effort they're taking into their own development or that required training. So we can actually identify and help career path some of these employees and help and contribute. We can also see which employees are, you know, less interested in their own development or which employees are maybe missing out on trainings. The kind of integration of AI into this space is allowing a lot of, you know, opportunity or creating a lot of opportunity on the data analytics side, the back end. So that's one reason. Aside from that, though, it creates a better environment. You know, learning and curiosity are both contagious, and to create a learning culture at an organization is very important, and it transcends into other areas such as motivation, just being positive and happy, which focuses or relates again to productivity. But there's so many answers to that question. And every program's different, to be honest, especially if training is reactive or learning has to be reactive. But you know, there are many reasons why learning is and development are both beneficial to an organization.
You think about the turnover, the amount of time that an individual stays with an employer is getting shorter and shorter. I can see why that employer would invest in learning. Learning training, but why spend a whole lot of money on development when they're unlikely to see the return on that investment?
No, that's that you bring up a great point. Now, at the same time, I think the investing in that development, you make it public and show to the world, and your recruiting operation that we develop in this space, we help invest in our employees, the individual, and that is directly tied to recruitment and then later retention. There are so many opportunities, and it's great at an organization where younger employees might not they might burn out early. If they are actually learning, actively learning in a learning management system or developing, a lot of opportunities arise. And I've seen this with a lot of clients for lateral movement, for employees to learn and want to get out of business development and maybe into project management. The beginning of this lateral movement and being able to stay loyal and stay with an organization, but explore other options. And when you build this ecosystem of learning and this culture, I mean, so many opportunities arise from it. And a lot of things are interconnected. And it's fascinating stuff. And you see, some of the best companies are very vocal, bragging about their learning and development organizations, such as General Electric and Coca-Cola, I believe. But there are so many that, they boast about it.
So how does organization size impact learning and development? Small and medium-sized businesses are going to have less budget. And I know we're going to do a whole episode on that, but budget, like what can these smaller organizations do?
No, that's really important to note because, majority of companies, at least here in the States, are small companies. They don't, as individual companies, they don't have the budget to hire from within and build a learning organization or have that internally. So there are so many ways to either outsource the consulting piece, but also outsource the actual content development. A lot of small companies, while they don't have the budget for learning and development, they could really benefit. And this is super true for companies that are located in states like where I live in New Hampshire, because they are fighting for the talent more than, the bigger companies are in big cities like New York City. It's very, very hard to hire and retain in more rural areas where there are actually a surprising amount of organizations and companies that do have 30, 40, 50 employees. But for budget, I always suggest outsourcing and finding somebody who can actually help you or the organization find the best bang for the buck. And that might include self-paced learning out of an LMS that provides ready-made coursework. There are many options, but no, it's a great question because it's a challenge, and it's really tough in recruiting because when somebody's, you're trying to bring in this talent, they're expecting learning and development, especially the younger generation that are coming out of college. That's going to be their first job. They're aware of e-learning. They're aware of AI. They're aware of these new modes or modalities of the transfer of knowledge and skills. So their expectations are high. So it is quite challenging, and it adds to the challenge for small companies.
You have touched on this a few times throughout, but I want to deal with it directly. The role of technology, your LMS, do you have to have one? How does that work?
Oh no, this is a tough, I mean, a tough one. People argue still about in the more modern camp, the LMS is essential if you have at least 20 employees. You don't have to build a custom LMS, go with a low-cost vendor, but it's always nice to have, to some need to have, the learning management system as a platform that allows asynchronous training, learning, and development. You provide ready-made coursework or custom. It's put into this LMS, essentially this online or tech academy, and you're able to track your students, your learners, your employees. You can assign them coursework. You can give them coursework that's optional. You can track even how they engage with the material using some pretty interesting analytics on the back end. And you can also reward them. Well, a lot of these new LMSs and, with technology include what we call structural gamification, badges, leaderboards, which is really cool. Yeah, I'm actually working for a big healthcare client now, and then one of our big kind of overloads or things we're working on is the structural gamification and rewarding employees with gift cards and other swag for for taking their learning seriously and going the extra mile in their own, development. But yeah, the tech is very important. The LMS, learning management systems are, I would say, vital to any organization with over 20, 30 employees.
Okay. Do we need to do a whole episode about LMSs?
Well, I'll tell you that 95% of the people that reach out inbound, people that are reached out to me to either share something or potentially hire me or seek consulting, 95% are initially asking, which LMS should I go with?
All right. Well, then maybe we need... I know we just don't have time right now, but maybe we need to do that. Okay, audience out there, stay tuned for that. Okay. So so many of these small and medium-sized businesses, they have maybe one HR person. How does that lone HR person enable training and development?
Well, that depends, right? Every organization is different. To conduct a proper learning needs assessment, we'd have to look, kind of dive under the hood and see what they're already doing. Because you'd assume, and I don't like to make assumptions, but let's say for the fun of it, we'd assume that they have some sort of onboarding procedure.
Right.
Not e-learning involved with the onboarding, but they have something. So I'd have to look at that and see what, and give them credit for where it's due and motivate them to build on it in incremental ways to develop some or add on just the learning component of that onboarding and continued growth. But no, it's a case-by-case basis, and that's why the consultant kind of comes in. It's you don't really have organizations that are the same. Many commonalities across even multivariate verticals across those, but no two companies are the same with this, especially small business. And that's why it's a fun space to work in.
Okay. Thanks, James. I know we're getting to the end of this. So where can someone learn more? Please refer to your own website or, whatever you refer to stay on top of your own learning and development.
Ah, for sure. I always suggest ATD, right? The Association for Talent Development.
Okay.
They are such a good resource. They provide blogs or other content. Most of it's free. And the stuff they put out is for just a wide range of audience, small business, large business, HR people, SMEs, other business leaders. But yeah, the ATD is definitely a go-to.
Okay.
And then for e-learning, for some of the more tech stuff, there's a website, elearningindustry.com. I believe they're an aggregate, content aggregator, but they provide some really insightful articles. And it's really important, though, just to check individual articles, just check the, who it comes from, because it is a collection from across the web. But they put out some great stuff. So I'd say ATD and the elearningindustry.com website for sure.
What about yours?
For sure. You can check out my my business at EduPivot, EduPivot .io, and or reach out to me on LinkedIn. I'm always around to give free consultative advice. Love meeting people who work in the HR space as well. So,
okay, very good. I will include all of those links in the show notes. Well, thanks, James. The differences between learning and development and the nuance to each, when you really start thinking about it, that has significant implications across HR and how we do our work, and significant opportunity to really better how we practice. However, we've reached the end of this episode. Thanks for listening out there. We'll catch you next time when I talk shop with another insightful guest.